In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Old Testament is filled with stories of holy women. Holy women whose deeds edified generations of the chosen people. And of these examples, we have someone like Ruth, Judith, Esther, Deborah. All of them in some way prefigure Our Lady and her perfection. And yet, as heroic as these women were, they all fail in comparison when compared to the Blessed Virgin Mary. St. Louis de Montfort, he writes, God the Father gathered all the waters together and called them the seas, or in Latin, Maria. He gathered all his graces together and called it Mary, or Maria. Any perfection in the created universe, any perfection excluding our Lord's human nature, any perfection cannot be worthily compared to the Mother of God. And so with this in mind, we look at the miracle in today's gospel, a miracle which is achieved through her intercession. So we're in the city of Cana, which is close to Nazareth. It's about 10 kilometers away. Our Lady presumably is a friend of one of the families of the betrothed. Some commentators even say she would have been a blood relative of these families, and so she saw it as her duty to attend. Her son, our Lord, attends, as well as a handful of his first apostles, his first disciples. According to the custom, women at these banquets didn't sit at table. They saw to the service of the table, and the older women would have been overseeing the younger women at work and directing them. Our Lady would have been in that group of older women. As we see in the gospel, she's helping the hosts with the feast. As always, Our Lady is attentive. She's looking for any opportunity to do good to others. And so perhaps without being told, she anticipates the failing of the wine. And yet, she doesn't panic. No panic sets in. She interprets everything wisely and everything in a spirit of faith. She sees that God has permitted this lack of wine in order to give Jesus the opportunity to manifest himself. He hadn't yet performed any miracle up to this point, but she never doubted his supernatural power. So she makes the request without hesitation. She perceived that the time had arrived for her son to manifest himself. And remember, in the not too distant past, her son has showed signs. In the not too distant past, he takes leave of Nazareth. Our Lady would have been hearing about what St. John the Baptist is preaching about, directing others to follow her son. She would have heard about her son's recent baptism at the hands of St. John. And then the beginnings of the Apostolic College. All of this suggested to her that a new phase is beginning. And how does Jesus respond to her request? Well, it comes off harsh to our ears. He responds, "Woman." He calls his mother, "Woman." But in the language at the time, this was a title which could denote respect. And it was sometimes used to address princes and queens, to show them the high esteem they deserved. So Jesus used this as this title in order to insert some solemnity into the moment. He also wants to make this event impersonal, in the sense that what he's about to carry out is not out of a sentimental attachment to his mother. He is completely attached to the will of his heavenly Father. He's not motivated by mere human concerns. And then finally, he wanted to publicly associate his mother to his great work, the definitive power of her intercession, of her mediation. And he wanted to suggest especially that to the apostles. So despite his superficial resistance, Our Lady has the privileged knowledge that she will be heeded, and so she directs the service to follow his direction. She knows perfectly the motions of her son's sacred heart. And so we can learn something here. No matter how bad things appear in our lives, we should have an unwavering confidence in her intercessory power. She'll come to our aid when we are lacking that wine, when we have no more wine. Jesus has already promised us as individuals, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, that I will do. And therefore, if that applies to us, miserable creatures as we are, that applies all the more so to the Immaculate Mother of God. Jesus denies her nothing on earth, and all the more so, he won't deny her a thing in heaven. The time had not yet arrived in the gospel today, and he still does it. The time has arrived. He is the eternal high priest, ever attentive to his mother's requests in heaven. So he heeds her request. Today at Cana, he heeds her request, and in a way that far exceeds the need, he produces wine in abundance. And according to the measurements, he would have produced 180 gallons. So that's more than enough. So wine in abundance, as well as the best of wine. The best wine was served last. And there's an important application here to the spiritual life. When we give in to the seduction of sin, notice, we first taste the good wine, the quote-unquote good wine. There's a rush of pleasure. There's an illusion of happiness. But right after being intoxicated with vice, what follows is frustration and sadness. The spiritual life flips that over. In the spiritual life, when we set out on the path to holiness, we first meet with difficulties. We first meet with obstacles, with, let's say, water. But after an application of ourselves, this will soon be replaced by the delicious wine, the wine that's served last, spiritual consolation. One author puts it, initially, the world promises goods, joy, and pleasures, but in the end only gives bitterness, affliction, and despair. God acts differently. He makes those who surrender to him feel the bitterness of the chalice of Jesus Christ, sorrows and toil, but in the end, the sufferings and the tears give way to an ineffable joy, torrents of delight. So in the face of the anxieties of today, we have to reassert our hope, both for ourselves and for the world. When humanity stoops to such a low point that everything seems lost, the intercession of Mary will transform that tepid water into a delicious wine. A number of saints, most notably Saint Louis de Montfort, they prophesied a time in the future, which he called the reign of Mary, which of course was foretold at Fatima, the reign of the Immaculate Heart. And in the phrase of today's gospel, you have kept the best wine until now. That could very well mean you have kept the best graces, O God, for a future age, for future times. And remember, the more desperate things become, the more likely we ourselves will live to see that day. Where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. In writing in the 17th century, St. Louis de Montfort, he foretells of this future age, and I'll finish with this passage. Wonderful things will happen on earth. The Holy Ghost, finding his dear spouse present again in souls, will come down into them with great power. He will fill them with his gifts, especially wisdom, by which they will produce wonders of grace. My dear friend, when will that happy time come, that age of Mary, when many souls chosen by Mary and given her by the Most High God will hide themselves completely in the depths of her soul, becoming living copies of her, loving and glorifying Jesus? If we don't live to see that day, we ought to be living it ourselves. There better be a continual transformation, a greater and greater love of her Son in us. An indication that this is occurring indeed is a strong and unfailing devotion to the Mother of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.